Welcome to the latest edition of the Delaware Biblecast, a podcast ministry of Delaware Bible Church. I'm your host for today's podcast, Pastor Brad Harris, and joining me today is Pastor Scott Teedy. Pastor Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us for our third episode. This is our first time having Pastor Scott with us, and during today's podcast, Pastor Scott is going to be sharing with us a testimony regarding what his family recently went through as his wife Tracy was diagnosed with COVID-19. But before we get to that podcast, Pastor Scott, I think it would be good if we first provided some context for those who may not know our ministry as well, or what recently our ministry has, the happenings and what's been going on during the pandemic here. So prior to Tracy finding out that she received COVID, both you and I and her and other members of your family got a COVID test, and our school ministry actually had to shut down for 2 weeks. Can you tell us about that?
Certainly. So what happened was, I think that you and I had been exposed to Bill, our maintenance man, and we, you know, not wanting to care for our congregation and not wanting to spread around anything, we went on a Saturday to get a rapid test just to make sure that we didn't have anything that we were going to carry to church with us the following day on Sunday. And so you and I and my wife and my daughter all got a rapid test on a Saturday morning, and everybody was negative. Now, my wife, Tracy, she had just substitute taught at Delaware Christian School, our school ministry, for 2 days in a row, I believe, 2 days in a row. She works, she's normally a pharmacist, works at Grady Hospital, and she, you know, she's not a full-time employee there, she's a part-time employee. So when there's opportunity, she has days off, and when it fits, you know, when there's a need at the school sometimes, and she loves to do this, she'll come in and substitute teach. So for all those reasons, we went and got a rapid test. And really, if you remember, it wasn't until after she started to develop symptoms that the school, a few days later, I think it was the end of the following week, shut down.
So it was a pretty surreal thing in that Bill shared with us on Friday that he officially tested positive. Just a few hours later, we heard the school was shutting down for 2 weeks due to COVID exposure with the amount of staff and those type of things. And then we went to get rapid tests. We all tested negative, and then a few days later, as you shared, Tracy had symptoms, and then you went again there. So that provides a little bit of context there, but share with us your testimony about how God has worked in your family's life, in your life, in Tracy's life, and your family's life during this trial.
Certainly, certainly. So I would say, you know, the big thing for me before this happened was I in looking back on my response to COVID-19, I would say that I had a lot of pride. I was frustrated with the way the government was handling things. I was frustrated with all of the rules and regulations and stipulations that they were putting on us, and I just didn't really understand why we had to go through all this. It seemed like nothing was really happening out there, and I really had not, to that point, known. I had only, I think, at that point, known of one case of a person that I had known, and you know who I'm talking about. She was up there in age and had other health problems and things, and she did go home to be with the Lord, but you know, she was kind of close to going home to be with the Lord before COVID hit, anyway. So I guess I would say that I was kind of sick and tired of the situation. I thought that it was kind of degenerating into a political, just a straight up political thing, and I didn't understand why we were doing what we were doing. And I was trying to be balanced and put on what I would consider to be a good face for the church, but in my private thoughts, and sometimes even amongst friends, I would express that, you know, kind of a I knew better situation. Like, I know that the government's all doing this for political reasons. This is all going to disappear after the November election and things like that. And so with all that in mind, then we went through this as a family. Tracy went through being hospitalized for quite a period of time with a severe case of COVID-19. So I'm going to walk you through the progression of the disease and kind of a timeline of what happened. And the only reason that I'm doing this, number one, I hope that it will be an encouragement and informative to those people that are just, you know, part of the congregation or out there in the community and are just wondering how this disease works. And, you know, secondly, just to kind of give you the context of how the Lord used this trial to teach me. It's funny, Pastor Brad, I asked Tracy to come and if she would want to speak at this, and she had really no interest. And that's just my wife. She's a quiet person and not something that she was interested in. But it really did affect, it affected us in a pretty good way. So let me walk you through what happened. Like you said, we got tested on a Saturday just to make sure that we weren't carrying anything to church on a Sunday, and we all tested negative. And then we went through Sunday, and everything was fine. And then Monday afternoon, Tracy began to develop symptoms, and those symptoms were flu-like symptoms, but especially shortness of breath was the thing. Now, I've heard different stories, and people say that the first thing that happens is they lose their sense of taste and smell. That wasn't the case with Tracy. She did not lose her sense of taste and smell. It was just more like flu-like symptoms, but and a fever. And given everything that was going on in our culture, she did what she was supposed to do as a hospital employee. She called. There's a number that you call at the hospital, and you tell them, hey, I'm not feeling well, what do you want me to do? And that's what she did. She called them and said, hey, I'm having symptoms, what do you want me to do? And they said, well, you know, drive up to Marion. There's a tent, kind of a testing facility set up there. Go up there and get a test. This was not the same type of test. It wasn't a rapid test, but promised results within 24 hours. And so that's what we did. She and I got in the car. We drove up to Marion. They got her right in. And, you know, it was a mouth swab. The first one was a nasal swab. This one was a mouth swab. And, they said, you know, within a few minutes, be on your way. You know, if you're either going to see it in her, you know, at the hospital, they have an account that they can log into. You'll see the results in there. Or if it's positive, you'll probably get a call. The next morning at 7:30 a.m., which is not a typical time for people to be calling us, but at 7:30 a.m., we received a phone call, and that's when, you know, it triggered in my mind, okay, she's probably a positive. And sure enough, she was. And so from that moment, we started, I basically moved out of the master bedroom and the master bathroom, put all, you know, we have some kids at college, so I was able to move some of my clothing and some of my supplies and stuff to another room in the house, and we put together we quarantined ourselves from each other, and we knew that because our daughter and I had been exposed to her, we were going to have to quarantine for 14 days while she, what we thought was going to happen was she was going to ride this out at home and just recover, as many people do, are able to do. So that's what we did. And I would take her up food and set it by the door. She'd come to the door and open the door and get it. And we were just trying to keep our distance. I wore a mask. I had rubber gloves in the house that I used to work on the car, and I'd wear those to touch anything that she had touched and, you know, trying to be super careful. Well, the next day or so, she had a telehealth appointment with her doctor, where she got on the computer and she did FaceTime basically with her doctor. And her doctor, in looking at her, told her, she said, I think you have a pretty... You know, you're one of the most pronounced cases that I've seen. And that was alarming to us. It just so happened, too, because my wife is a medical person, she has a few things sitting around the house that that maybe people don't have. For example, something to read your blood pressure. And she also has a meter to read your blood oxygen level. So she was checking those things as we went. And one of the things that we started to notice after that, you know, and the doctor kind of told her what to look out for and when to go to the hospital. But one of the things that we noticed in those next few days is that her blood oxygen level would drop pretty significantly whenever she would get up to go walk around or go to take a shower or something like that. It would exhaust her, but also her blood oxygen level would drop quite a bit. And her doctor had told her kind of what to watch out for with that. And it's funny, the president of the United States just recently was diagnosed with COVID-19, and they were making a big deal about it. And they were saying, how low did the president's blood oxygen level go? And I think the doctor said, I don't know, 94% or something like that. Normal's up at high, you know, mid to high 90s. And President Trump's blood oxygen was dropping to, you know, 94% or something like that. And Tracy's was dropping way lower, like 80s and in some cases high 70s. And so by Thursday of that week, Tracy and I had been talking, and but she had had expressed to me that she did not want to have an episode in the middle of the night where her blood oxygen level was so low that, you know, we were basically going to have to call the squad. So at that point, we made the decision to go to the hospital and get her checked out. We thought this would be a quick trip to the ER. They would check her out and say, you know, go recover at home. And that is not what happened. We went to the hospital. I had to stay outside, of course. The nurse came all gowned up and with lots of PPE on. I had to drop her off in the ambulance bay, and they came out with a wheelchair and took her back. And basically, that was the last time I saw her for 9 days. She went back, and they admitted her, and pretty quickly into that evening, I think by midnight that night, they had decided that they were going to give her a course of remdesivir, which is a medication that they've been treating COVID patients with some success. But that was going to be one IV per day for 5 days. And so at that point, we kind of thought, well, she's probably going to be in there for 5 days, or maybe they'll send her home on day three and a nurse will come and administer the IV. You know, we were thinking very optimistically at that point. But it was clear that she was having a hard time breathing, and it was clear that her blood oxygen was dipping down. So as time went on and she began to receive the remdesivir, her breathing became more and more difficult. She needed more and more oxygen, administered to her in order to keep her blood oxygen level up. And I would say in those first 5 or 6 days, that's when, you know, one of the things about, again, when I saw the president of the United States who had been diagnosed with COVID-19, when I saw him talking and making full sentences, I knew immediately that he was not experiencing the symptoms that my wife experienced, because Tracy could not talk. She could not draw enough breath to make full sentences. I think in the entire 9 days she was in the hospital, we talked 3 or 4 times, and she would talk to me in pretty short phrases. So even during those times, in like I said, the first 5 or 6 days, it became clear to us that the idea that this was going to be a quick and easy recovery was not true. That this was not a typical case of COVID-19. In fact, this was either a moderate or a severe case. And even in those times when we talked on the phone, we texted a lot, but in those times that we talked on the phone, we had some, what I would consider to be some very difficult conversations about how this could end. And, It was hard. Just honestly, it was hard, and there was a lot of talk about how we never expected this to happen. We, you know, we always concluded with the fact that God was in control, but ironically, simultaneously to all this going on, across the hall from Tracy was Steve Mitchell, who is also, you know, his wife Sapria works here in the school at our ministry, and Steve had contracted COVID-19 about a week ahead of Tracy and had been in the hospital. And I think at one point he was on a BiPAP machine, And he was having a tough go of it as well. And he and Tracy had some underlying health issues. So that was going on, and that was tough. I would say it was 6 or 7 days into Tracy's ordeal when I finally called up Supriya, Steve's wife, and the reason that I called was to encourage her because I knew that he was there and I was praying for him. He's a fellow pastor. And at the same time, you know, she didn't know, she knew that somebody was there for COVID, but she didn't know it was Tracy. So I told her what was going on, and she began to pray for Tracy as well. And, you know, that was, I was very encouraged by the church's response. Everybody was praying for us. Some people brought us some food and dropped it on the doorstep and stuff. But Ellie and I were quarantined at home while Tracy was there. And I began, just so I would kind of get some context of what was going on, I asked Supriya to kind of step me through the progression of Steve's disease. And it was the same story that Tracy's story and Steve's story were very similar in that they were having a tough time breathing. They couldn't get any energy. They couldn't get any breath. So they went to the hospital. They put them on remdesivir for 5 days. And at the end of that 5 days, they gave them, you know, there was other therapies as well, like steroids and stuff. But they gave them antibody therapy, you know, the plasma from someone who had recovered. And, but the bottom line was Steve was about a week ahead in his disease progress of Tracy, and Steve was not doing well. And I was, at that moment, I was very concerned. More concerned than I probably let on to Tracy, more concerned than I let on to kids. I was giving my kids at college and my parents and my in-laws updates every time I could get one. I was talking to the doctors on the phone and stuff. But I knew at that moment that this thing was in God's hands. It was not my... I had no control. I felt completely helpless. I'm a guy who fixes things. I like to fix things. And there was nothing I could do. And so eventually Tracy turned a corner a little bit, and it was kind of like a roller coaster ride emotionally. There would be things that would indicate that she's getting better. Her fever broke. Yay, praise the Lord, she'll get to come home soon. The next day her fever came back. Oh man, what's that mean? Where are we heading here? At one point, I called a couple of doctors from our congregation and consulted with them. And you know, the bottom line is we just didn't know. We don't know a whole lot about this disease. So anyway, eventually, what started to happen is Tracy began to need less oxygen. She was all the way through her remdesivir course. She was all the way through her antibody therapy course. And she was just kind of waiting for her body to recover. And eventually, you know, the oxygen level would go down from 4 liters to 3 liters, you know, per hour. And then it would go from 3 liters to 2 liters per hour. And even then, at 2 liters, she would have to turn it up to go exert herself to take a shower or walk around. And then she could turn it back down. Eventually, the doctors turned her down, got her down to 1 liter. And at that point, they said, I think we're going to send you home. And I was overjoyed by that. The deal was is that somebody was going to come to our house and set up oxygen in our house from the hospital, and then Tracy was going to come home and then recover there. So I got the call. I got the text message from Tracy that says, they're ready for you to come get me, come pick me up. And I did. I went and got her, and she came home. She was on oxygen in the bedroom. We were just bringing her food and taking care of her while she recovered. She was very weak, but very happy to be home. And the same day that we brought Tracy home from the hospital was the day that Steve Mitchell went home to be with the Lord. It was the same exact day. And so from that point, from the time that she got home, she would meet with her doctor online every day or every other day. And people would call from home healthcare to check in on her. Bottom line is that she started to really improve day by day and get her strength back. And today, her employer, by the way, was super great to her. She worked a couple of days last week online. She just stayed home and worked from home. And today, I think we're recording this on the 14th. Today she is her first official day back to work. She's back to work today, and I texted her a while ago, and I said, "How you doing? How's your energy level and everything?" And she says, "I feel pretty good." So it's all good news there. And I just, you know, they're saying it's going to take about a month for her to really get back to baseline, and then we'll go from there. But I, in saying all that, you know, eventually Ellie and I finished our quarantine, and she was able to go back to school, and I was able to go back to work. Pastor Brad, you covered for me 1 week, preached the sermon 1 week. Pastor Aaron covered the next week. We worked it all out. But I guess to conclude, I just want to share some lessons that I learned, or that the Lord taught me through this situation. You know, first of all, just facing the death of someone that you love is just incredibly hard. And I guess we all expect to grow old and die at a ripe old age, you know. And here we were, we had just crossed the line of 25 years of marriage, and we're looking at, you know, this might be it. And that was incredibly difficult. And I don't know if I was processing that well or not, but there was a lot of prayer. There was a lot of, you know, asking God for his mercy, but also telling him, reminding him that I'm trusting him through it. The second thing I learned in this is this, that, you know, so I'm hoping that going through this trial, back to number one, I hope that going through this trial has made me, or going to make me, a better pastor, and be able to more deeply sympathize with those that are going through trials like this, medical trials. The second thing I learned is that I'm not in control. God is in control, and that's it. I can't fix this. I can't. There's nothing I can do except to trust the doctors. And I just got to say a word about doctors. The ones that I worked with at the hospital, anyway. Doctors are notoriously optimistic, and I understand why they're that way. But at one point, I told the doctor, I said, "Look, don't sugarcoat it. You know, how bad is this?" And he indicated that it was a serious situation. So I appreciated his honesty. But I'm not in control. God is in control. Our days are numbered, and he knows what they are. The third thing I really realized, and I think this will be beneficial to the audience listening, is that we really don't yet fully understand this disease. I never would have thought that that's not even 50 years old yet, I never would have thought that anybody who is not yet 50 years old, even though Tracy has some asthma, I never thought that this would hit her that hard. And I'm coming to find out that we don't fully understand this thing. And so it's difficult for us to always know who it's going to hit hard and who it's not. Now, one thing we do seem to know pretty well is that if you're younger and you have nothing wrong with your heart, your lungs, or your immune system, you're probably, you know, odds are really, really good that you're going to get through this no problem. I've talked to people who had a couple of days of fever and maybe some weakness, and that's it. But my advice to anyone listening to this who either is or knows someone that they love that has heart, lung, or immune system problems, that they take this, reasonable precautions. And you know, Tracy has done very well at not getting this by taking reasonable precautions. I really think it's those maybe couple of days that she substitute taught. We were having, now on this end, we know that we were having a bit of an outbreak here at the school. I definitely think that all that time spent in close proximity to students who were experiencing COVID is where she got it. But by her taking reasonable precautions, even by her working in a hospital, wearing masks, hand sanitizing, social distancing, she had done really well up to this point. So I would tell that to anyone who's listening is, you know, be especially vigilant about those basic precautions if you have heart, lung, or immune system issues. You know, this is not over for us. I guess that's another lesson that we've learned is that, you know, right now the medical community does not understand how long is Tracy going to have immunity? How long are these antibodies in her blood going to keep her from contracting COVID again? And so we're still thinking about what does this mean for our future? Because when 90 days or 4 months or whatever they're saying, when that's up, you know, there's going to be some certain things that she's not going to be able to do, or we're not going to be able to do until our medical community more accurately figures this out. But the last thing and the fifth thing that I want to share with you is, and this has been probably the most inspirational thing. You know, my wife often inspires me with her the way she is, but the most inspirational thing I can tell you about Tracy Teede, having survived a severe case of COVID-19, that's what her doctor said, severe case, 9 days of hospitalization, and then a recovery after that, is even though that happened, she is not living in fear of this disease. She's been out. She's been to some volleyball games. Today she's back at work. She's taking reasonable precautions and doing what she's supposed to be doing, but she's not living in fear. And the reason that I think that we can say that with accuracy and with honesty is because we know who is in control. And because our lives are secure in Christ, we don't have to fear what's going to happen tomorrow. It doesn't mean we're going to be dingbats and go and do silly things and try to get this disease, but we are going to take reasonable precautions and let God dictate the number of our days. And that's, so she's not living in fear, and I'm very impressed and inspired by that with her. By the way, in all this, Ellie and I were both exposed to her, and for reasons that I don't fully understand, Ellie and I never experienced one symptom. My daughter and I never experienced one symptom, nor did we get sick at all. So it's a mystery what's going on here.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Pastor Scott. I hope for those listening that was both an encouragement, a challenge, and just a real testimony of God's grace and how he has worked and continues to work through your family during this time. Just a follow-up question. As you were walking through this, as you were kind of processing everything that Tracy was going through, everything personally, everything going on, were there any specific passages of Scripture, reminders from God's Word, practical things that you had heard that especially helped fix your mind on truth during this time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to sound cliche to those that hang around Delaware Bible Church, but, you know, for those who love God, he works all things together for good. What's that, Romans 8:28?
It is.
I don't know why God allowed us to walk through this trial, but I do know that he was at work in my life and in my heart and opening my eyes to some things that I needed to see about me, about perhaps my marriage, and just the way I approach life that I needed to see. And perhaps Tracy could say the same thing about her life as well.
So just another follow-up question that I was thinking through as you shared was specifically the role of our church family and how we can minister to others through trials or things such as this. And as you shared, COVID is not something that as a society we're over yet. It's still going on. It's still a pandemic. But let's just imagine for a moment, God forbid this happens, but it very well could, that there's another church family that goes through a situation or a trial similarly to what you all experienced. Was there anything specifically looking back at this that either the church family did or that you could look at and say, man, when we were going through this, you know, this would really be encouraging to someone else that went through that? Or is there something that really, the church family, although they can't be around Tracy or around you during that time, if someone else were going through that experience, that we could use to encourage them?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was very encouraged by everybody that had indicated me, whether that be through a comment on the Facebook prayer page or a text message or something that they were praying for my wife. That was very encouraging. And I know that people were texting Tracy while she was in the hospital too, and I know she appreciated that, just a reminder that we're praying for you. On a practical level, a lot of folks brought over food, and they were gracious to call or text ahead of time and let us know what was going on. And so, you know, I I might have said no to a few people, but that was just because our refrigerator was getting full and we needed to back that off a little bit. But we really, really did appreciate that provision, because during that time we couldn't go to the grocery store. We had a couple people. I could go on like the Kroger website and shop for all the groceries, and they would pull them and bring them out, but I couldn't go get them. So we had some people go get the groceries for us and bring them home. Pastor Brad, I think you went and got some prescriptions because I couldn't go to the pharmacy, and brought those over. Those things, those practical things, were very helpful and encouraging to us.
Great. Well, we appreciate you sharing your testimony about how God has and continues to work through your family during this time. Thank you to all of us who joined us for today's podcast, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon as we continue our podcast next week. Hope you have a great week.